You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by Ned Coletti. We're going to open the podcast today with the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, which is where Ned and I discuss three topics that interest us. Tonight on the Triple Play, we have discussions involving Aaron Judge being undecided if he'll participate in the Home Run Derby, a discussion about Anthony Rizzo's slide that injured Austin Hedges. We'll also chat with former Major League catcher J.P. Arencibi about that. And finally, the Braves wanted to keep both Freddie Freeman and Matt Adams' bat in the lineup when Freeman returns and possibly moving one of them to third base.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
By the way, we were talking about the Home Run Derby, and we're going to talk about Aaron Judge here in just a second. Joey Gallo's got to be in that too, right? I mean, you got to have three rookies in there. Gallo, Judge and Bellinger, in my estimation. You got to have three guys in there. But Gallo's crushing baseball just like the other guys.
Yep. Well, I think it behooves baseball to really build a fan base. And when you got young players, people are intrigued by young players. People love seeing potential Hall of Famers or great players. But the new guys on the block are kind of like, well, let's see what this guy can do. How cool would it be to see Cody Bellinger, in the Home Run Derby? How cool would it be to see Aaron Judge, who's really been about as hot a topic in baseball as anybody through the first 3 months of this baseball season? It's what sells tickets. It's what creates interest. It's what builds the game.
You know, that's a great point that you bring up, because I will remember when I was a kid, like 1986, when you had all those rookies coming up. And most of them did not pan out to be future Hall of Famers. Matter of fact, I mean, you had Barry Bonds, all right? He was pretty awesome. Barry Bonds, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, I would think, if they get it right.
I would hope.
Yeah, you would hope. You would hope that'd be there. But, you know, who are some of the other guys? Will Clark. Will Clark was great. Never made the Hall of Fame. Barry Larkin made the Hall of Fame. He was in that class. There were some exciting players back then. Jose Canseco and Wally Joyner and Danny Tartable.
Mark McGuire.
There you go. Yeah. So that was exciting, and I'll never forget. And that's 30 years ago. It was so exciting. I think we got that same type of talent right now in baseball. Probably for about the first time in 30 years that I can remember, we have so much talent.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
well, look at Houston. I mean, Houston's got as much as, 10 years ago, there wasn't as much young talent as Houston has today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, that whole team is locked and loaded. But Aaron Judge was asked by the media throngs today in New York whether or not he's going to participate in the Home Run Derby. And he goes, I have to think about participating in the Home Run Derby. Now, we are not privy to actually listening to what he said there, so we're going on account of the New York media just getting a quote out there. But that being said, if you're asked to be in a Home Run Derby and you're Aaron Judge, don't you have to say yes?
Well, unless there's something going on that he can't make it to Miami at all, I don't know what would behoove him to hesitate to accept an honor, especially as a young player. It's great for the game. It's great for him. It's great for his organization. It's great for his fans. It's great for his brand. You never heard the word brand associated with players 10 years ago. Players build the brand. That's how they get endorsements. That's how they have careers after they're done playing. This kid is building a great brand. To hesitate on that, unless it's something personal that nobody knows about, I think that's a mistake.
That'd be absolutely unacceptable. I mean, it's his responsibility to help grow the game at this point.
You would think so.
I get it. It's a lot of guys are selfish, and I don't blame them. You got to do what's best for you, what's best for your team in the end. But at some point in time, you have to realize that you got to do what's best for the game as well, because when you are a part of that, you're helping build the game. Guys like Aaron Judge are going to help build the game. He is the hottest name in baseball. I mean, Bryce Harper, gigantic name, obviously. Clayton Kershaw, gigantic name. But the hottest name in baseball is Aaron Judge. It's not Cody Bellinger. With all due respect to Bellinger, who's actually had a more powerful season than Aaron Judge, when you look at the amount of time he missed the first 3 weeks of the season, Bellinger did, because he was down in the minors. Bellinger has been the more powerful hitter, but Aaron Judge plays in New York and he hits the ball farther. I mean, he breaks all the StatCast records left and right. Aaron Judge, it's his responsibility. Somebody needs to put the foot down and say, I know you're thinking about participating. You got to think about it. Now you got to do it. He's got to be in it. Bellinger's got to be in it. Joey Gallo's got to be in it. And Giancarlo Stanton's got to be in it. Those four guys got to be in a home run derby. This can't be like the NBA dunk contest where you got five, six guys. I don't even know how many they got in there. You may, if you're a casual fan, you may know one or two of those guys. It's not like that. No, no, no. This is the home run derby. Personally, I think that there is more interest in this from start to finish than there is in the game. It's a shorter amount of time, and it's all about home runs. We love home runs. Fans love home runs. This is the signature event at the All-Star Game. It is your duty to be in a home run derby. If they ask you, Aaron Judge, if they don't ask you, shame on them. Bellinger, Gallo, the rookies need to be in it. Now, if Giancarlo Stanton doesn't want to do it, that would be very disappointing. He's been in the league long enough where he doesn't have to say he's going to do it anymore. But that would be extraordinarily disappointing in his own backyard, and I'd be shocked if he turned it down.
Well, you got to sell baseball, too, in Miami. And unless they're in the World Series, which they've won two of them, it doesn't sell. And they got the All-Star game there probably because they built a new stadium. It probably went hand-in-hand with the decision to build a new stadium. We're going to put the All-Star game in your city. Going to increase revenue, increase tourist traffic, all these things. To not have really the face of the franchise as a position player for sure participate, that's not right. That's just not right. Like 40 years ago, if they did this in or 50 years ago, and the Yankees had hosted the All-Star game, and Mickey Mantle didn't participate, or Joe DiMaggio didn't participate. This guy is not, I'm not saying he's Mantle or DiMaggio, but this guy is a known star in baseball and especially in that city, and can help the city continue to flourish. He can also help baseball start to get a toehold there after 25 years or however long it's been.
Do you think it's more important that Stanton's in the home run derby than Judge is? Because you're talking about importance to one market in Miami as opposed to importance. I think Aaron Judge will be bigger for growing the sport across the country. You got a chance to see Stanton.
I agree. It's two different things. But I still think you gotta have the hometown flavor to it. That's part of the All-Star game, is having somebody from the hometown. Watch when they announce all the players and they come out to the first baseline, the third baseline, and the applause that player receives. It's a big deal for that city. It's an honor to be in it. The Dodgers have not had an All-Star game, I don't think, since maybe 1980. The Cubs haven't had one since 1990. It doesn't come around all the time. This will be the only one that Stanton plays in as long as he's a Marlin. It'll be the only one in the town that he plays in. So it is special. And who's leading Major League Baseball in home runs?
Who's leading? Aaron Judge.
Okay. So you're not going to have a young star in the media capital of the world, perhaps, than a New York Yankee not participate in the home run derby, and he's leading the majors in home runs? Please. That just doesn't make sense. It's too easy, in fact. It's like, why would this even be a topic? Why are we even talking about this? Because somebody said they got to have to think about it?
Yeah, because he says he's got to think about it. Well, think about it tonight and come back tomorrow and say, if they ask me, I would be more than happy to do it.
You know, I think they asked Bellinger a couple weeks ago, just by chance, if this should happen. I'm pretty sure his reaction was like awe. Like, really? Like, they're going to ask me to be in that? That's what it ought to be.
I ain't saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're 100% right. So, again, everybody gets the benefit of the doubt. Just because Aaron Judge didn't say, oh, it'd be great right off the bat, doesn't mean he doesn't really want to do it. But come on, Aaron, get it together here. You need to be in the home run derby. It's more important than just you here. This is, you're a rookie. You need to pay your dues, and you need to help the game of baseball. Go do it. Go do it. All right, you're listening to MLB at the Plate, Holden Kushner and Ned Colletti. Let me just add something, because you were talking about having your player in your hometown. People always want to. This is a hot debate every year. Oh, get rid of having one representative from every team. You know, when I was a kid and the Mets stunk back in the early '80s, the only reason I would watch the All-Star game is to see if Dave Kingman would get in the game, or Joel Youngblood would. I don't even know if they were All-Stars or anything, but that kept me at least engaged in the game so that maybe somebody that was on my favorite team, I could actually see them play. So for those of you that want to get rid of it, Too bad. I'm glad it's staying. I hope it stays for a long time, because that really, there's got to be other people like me, especially when I was a kid, that were just so in love with their team, despite the fact that they stunk. They're so in love with their team that if there was one guy on the All-Star team, they at least felt invested that their guy, their team, the National League or the American League, had a player on their team.
Absolutely. It's got a lot of pride to it, too. I mean, I grew up a Cub fan, and for most of my childhood, except for like 1968 and 69, a little bit of 70, the Cubs were not a good team. And luckily they had four Hall of Fame players on that team. So guys did go to the All-Star game, but it would have been bad not seeing the team that you root for represented. Because you know what else? They're wearing the jersey that you root for. And after the, you know, it's just, I don't know. I just think that you got to have somebody from every team. It's baseball's showcase event.
Yeah, and people are going to, you're going to hear people complain that this guy got snubbed or that guy got snubbed.
Well, that's part of the debate.
But you know what happens? There's so many guys that back out of it these days because of injury or whatever, that it's the guys that deserve to make it are still going to make the team.
Yep.
I mean, it's been years since somebody that didn't actually deserve to make the team didn't make the team. There are just so many injuries, so many guys backing out. So it's nice to overreact and say that this guy got snubbed and, you know, have a little fake anger for a couple of days. That's what you want to do. But when it's all said and done, the guys that are supposed to be on the team end up making the team.
Hey, you know what they say about that?
What?
When all is said and done, more is said than done.
More is said than done. That's deep. That's deep, Ned. That's
not really,
real deep.
But you could put that on a wall somewhere.
Real quick, and we're going to have JP here and CB on here in a few minutes, longtime catcher in the bigs and our co-host here. But we saw the Rizzo slide yesterday in Chicago. He came home. Austin Hedges of the Padres had the ball. He was out in front of the plate, actually, and Rizzo knew he was going to be out, had a clear path to the plate, ended up running right into Hedges. And really, at the time, I was confused, Ned, whether or not that was legal or illegal. And the umpires must have been, too. Now, he was out anyways, but they didn't call any sort of foul play there. He had San Diego's manager Green going nuts after the game, saying Rizzo's not a dirty player, but it was a dirty play. Joe Maddon saying it was a legal play. Joe Maddon was wrong. You know, I just look at the rule right now. I'm still confused by it. I feel like the players are still confused by it. But if you're going to have a rule and you're not going to enforce it, why do you have a rule? Like, what is the big penalty here? Why wouldn't you run over a catcher if, well, I know why you wouldn't, but what is keeping you from running over a catcher if you know you're going to be out at the plate anyways? Maybe you could jar the ball loose.
Yep, and that's the way the game was played for a long time. Buster Posey's injury against the Marlins a few years ago kind of started people thinking that something needed to be done. But we saw a play last night that was a violation of the rule. But Hedges is hurt, and nothing much is going to happen to Rizzo. But needs clarity. It'll be interesting to hear what JP's got to say about it, being a former big league catcher.
Let's talk with our buddy JP Arencibia joining us. Longtime big league catcher. JP, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Holden, how are you, son?
I'm doing great. We got Ned here, of course, and I know you've seen what's going on here with Rizzo last night running into Austin Hedges. What's your take on the play, just from a guy that's been in the position that Austin Hedges has been in?
Well, I think, listen, it was only a matter of time that somebody would try to kind of, I would say, take a shot at the rule. And so what he tried to do was he tried to make it look like he was going to slide at home plate, but obviously with the intent to take him out. And, you know, I think these are the problem right now. The biggest problem is the rules that have been implemented. You see guys going to slide into second base, guys have been playing baseball for a long time and don't know what to do anymore because they're not even sure about what the rule entails. So guys are going to try to push the limits later on, and that's what Rizzo tried to do. I think that if we have the same rules that have been around for 100 years, I think it was one of the more exciting plays in baseball. And if you talk about, you know, people wanting to watch the game and all these different things as a catcher, I knew what I signed up for, and that was the play at the plate. I actually really enjoyed it. So I think that eventually they're going to have to revisit the ruling at home plate.
You think, JP, you think it's the game almost moves too fast to have rules in place that that prohibit the contact when the vicinity of a play, second base, home plate is so small?
Yeah, I think the problem with the rules is that, imagine, you know, we came up playing a certain way, and for so long we've been playing a certain way, and then all of a sudden they tell you, okay, this is how you have to do it, and the game is so fast that sometimes you find yourself, like, I remember even at second base when the new rule came, sliding at second base and kind of like, hey, was that legal? Was that okay? Because I didn't know, you know, you're taught to go at the shortstop, not to hurt him, take him out, or the second baseman, just to break up the double play. And then sometimes you find yourself in between steps and you don't know what you're doing. Now you're just hitting the ground because you don't want the guy to hit you with the baseball. And the same thing with at the plate. You know, there was a lot of times, I mean, with three different teams that I played with, none of them could seem to interpret the rule with the catcher trying to block the plate, the throw to the, you know, how to catch the throw and then block the plate. If the throw takes you that way, can you cross the runner? And, you know, and vice versa. Some teams just said, hey, you have to automatically slide. Well, what Rizzo did there was just say, okay, I'm going to make it look like I'm going to slide, but I'm just going to come in with two knees and drill the catcher, which, again, now at some point, somebody gets hurt that way. Are we talking about the rule switching to possibly, okay, let's go back to maybe you give the runner a little bit of room, but they can run you over? I mean, I think that the changes of the rules have made it very skeptical for guys, and it's, there's still a lot of gray area in those rules.
I think one of the things that bothers me the most about last night is that because there is a rule in place, the catcher's not expecting to get hit. It's one thing if, you know, like in the old days when you were playing that, and I don't mean to say you're old, the old days, but, you know, in the previous rules, you still there, JP? Yeah. In the previous rules, they expected it. You expected that there may be contact, there may be a collision, and so you could brace yourself for that. With the rules in place now, a catcher, this has been going on for a couple of years, they're expecting no contact.
Yeah, and again, you don't know what to do, because then, you know, you're not supposed to get in the lane, but I know if the throw takes you into the lane, I mean, you see how many times guys go to the instant replay and say the catcher was blocking the plate. They go to the instant replay, and they never change the call because the ball was taking them that way, all these different things. As a catcher, it was always tough because I didn't know what I had to do. Now you have these guys that are coming up to the big leagues with this rule already in place. Like, for me, when I was catching, I enjoyed knowing that there was a throw coming from right field and it was a tie game and I had an opportunity to stuff this guy at the plate and not give up the run. Now it's different. Like you said, guys don't expect to get hit. And so now we're ultimately talking about a play at the plate where, one, no one got hurt, and two, that there was a little bit of a collision, but now because of all these things that have gone on in these implementations, now this is a big issue. And I think sometimes by taking away what naturally was happening, you put guys in kind of a more position to get hurt necessarily. You know, the catcher is not understanding how to have contact, because at some point there's going to be contact as a catcher. And if you don't know how to be able to roll out of it or do things, you know, like Posey got caught in a bad position. That was it wasn't a dirty play at the plate. Posey got caught with his foot under him, which you taught to be able to, if you get hit, you're able to roll away out of it, don't get caught up. And so I just think that there's, you know, eventually they're going to have to revisit this rule and kind of see what they do, because it just puts, the runner has no idea what to do. The catcher, they don't have anything to do. They don't know what to do if they've been around for a while, and if they're coming up, they just expect it to be this, like, patty cake game at the plate where I just tag the guy out and he's fine.
JP Arencibia is with us. So last night, Andy Green, the Padres manager, said it was a dirty play, that Rizzo's not a dirty player, but it was a dirty play. Was it a dirty play?
I necessarily don't think it was a dirty play. Listen, I mean, you watch Rizzo. Rizzo's one of the guys who's respected the most around the league. I think he's a hard player. The guy plays to win the game. And what he did was stretch the rules. I mean, if anywhere in any sports, there's rules in place, people stretch them. If either it's with pine tar on a catcher having pine tar on his shin, his catch, like his leg guards, and so I can get better grip. Well, sometimes that's for the pitcher. I mean, there's little things in every sport that guys, there's rules in place that guys are going to stretch. Well, Rizzo tried to stretch him right there, where, you know, he tried to make it look like he was going to slide, but he very well knew what he was doing. He's 6'4", he's 240 pounds. He knows that he has the advantage, and he's trying to score a run for his team. So is it a dirty play? If I'm the catcher, I don't think it's a dirty play. I'm more upset at myself if I'm the catcher that I didn't prepare to drill him back, because at the end of the day, I'm the one with the equipment, and I can make it hurt on these guys too. So, I mean, you know, Hedges is a younger player. He's come up with these things. I think it's the manager trying to protect his player. But do I necessarily think that it's a dirty play? No, I think it's a play that a smart player who plays the game hard, you know, is trying to stretch the rules a little bit.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. I'll be back on Thursday, so I'll catch you Thursday. You'll be in tomorrow. You take care of yourself, all right? Yep.
Thanks. Thanks,
buddy. And a big hug for Mr. Ned Colletti. That's the one of the best of all time right there.
All right. Very good. JP Aaron Sivia joining us here on MLB at the Plate. So, yeah, he didn't think it was a dirty play. Andy Green obviously did. And, yeah, you listen to JP, he puts a lot on the catcher. You know, the catcher, you still got to be prepared, even though there's the rule there. But the thing I'm thinking, Ned, is there's probably going to be retaliation tonight. Absolutely, right? No doubt about it, that the Padres are going to come out and do something about this because they're not happy about it.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that we'll have to wait and see how the game unfolds. Retaliation is a tough thing, and most umpires, I'm sure Joe Torre, I'm not sure because I'm not there, but I would assume that Joe Torre has contacted both organizations and said, hey, we don't need any retribution here. We don't need any revenge taken. There'll be severe penalties if such and such a thing happens. It just goes back to the clarity of the rule and the speed of the game. I mean, it's like telling somebody to run half speed in a race. You play a certain way, and the rules are there, and it was a violation of a rule. But again, if the game is fast, and you know, as Green said, Rizzo is not a dirty player, although the play was not inside the rules. And as I mentioned to JP, part of the problem I have is the catcher, at least subliminally, if nothing else, is not expecting contact. There hasn't been much contact in as long as that rule's been in place at the plate. It's one thing if you're expecting a collision. It's another thing if you're not and you end up with one.
Mark Bowman from MLB.com came out with a report, and he says the Braves have discussed how to keep both Freddie Freeman and Matt Adams in the lineup once Freeman returns, and he's about a month away from the DL. They haven't ruled out the possibility that one of these first basemen will become a third baseman, which I find absolutely fascinating. Now, I know Matt Adams, what a great pickup. It's gone under the radar because it's the Braves, and they really have not been doing anything this season, although, you know, if they go on another four straight wins, they're going to get the 500. But, you know, Freddie Freeman, who could have thought the face of the Atlanta Braves, they would even be considering this? And Brian Snitker, the manager, said we can't rule out anything. I mean, moving your superstar player from one corner to the other, how would that work? How is that possible?
Well, it's a different day and age in baseball, and I think you see it a lot. I think it's something that teams are always thinking about, how to keep their better hitters in the game. You look at what the Dodgers have done. Chris Taylor, who they acquired for Zach Lee, I think a year ago yesterday, has been a great player for them. Was not an outfielder. He's played center. He's played left. Obviously a middle infielder. Can play some third. But you got to be creative. Bellinger, they stick him in left field. They need his bat in the lineup when Adrian Gonzalez was healthy. Teams start to do that. They start to think about how can we make somebody a little bit more versatile and keep their bat in the lineup. I think it's where the game is at. I think it's probably where the game is going to continue to go. I think you're going to see more and more versatility. I wouldn't be surprised to find somebody like the Padres did with their one of their pitchers early in the year who could also catch and use him as your 25th man. So when you do have a game that's a little bit out of hand, maybe you run a position player in there who actually knows how to pitch a little bit. The Dodgers are also doing it with one of their candidates. I think the game is going to continue to expand, and you're going to see more and more and more versatility.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, but Freddie Freeman over at third, because Matt Adams, not take anything away from Matt Adams, but I mean, he's not a very athletic individual. And when I think about Freddie Freeman, I'm thinking pretty athletic guy. Could he take the move over to third base? So Man, it's mind-blowing. But, yeah, Adams and Freeman in that lineup, when Freddie comes back. Here's the thing with the Braves, which completely shocked me when I saw the stat this morning. They're averaging the same amount of runs with Freddie Freeman than they were without Freddie Freeman. Does that mean that they are as good? No, absolutely not. There's no doubt about it. I just think it's a little bit interesting here that they have survived offensively without Freddie Freeman. The record's actually even a little bit better without Freddie Freeman. So 16-16 without him, averaging 4.7 runs per game. With him, 16-21, averaging 4.7 runs per game. The record really doesn't matter because you can't talk about the pitching. I mean, the pitching may have been better or worse, but the offense has stayed the same, and that's really a credit to the Braves. Their pitching is bad, okay? It's young behind a bunch of old guys that have struggled. Now, Teron is starting to come around at home after starting out great on the road. He has had his struggles at SunTrust. You know, Dickey's eating innings, and Colon might be at the end of the line.
Yep.
But their offense with Kemp, Swanson's hitting now, Freddie will come back, Matt Adams contributing, Ender Inciarte. They got a lot of bats. That is one thing you got to give to the Braves. They can hit the ball, and they got a hitter's ballpark now.
Well, they're getting younger. They're getting more experience. It's been a couple tough years there, one loss record-wise. But you got John Hart over there, really knows what he's doing. Built Cleveland many years ago. A lot of success. Kind of tore it down to rebuild it. A lot of courage to do that. But they're on their way to doing it, and they can hit. It's always going to come down to the pitching, though, and how much of their young pitching can develop and be good enough to pitch in the big leagues.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Catch tomorrow's baseball starts today with Minor League Baseball on TuneIn. Throughout the season, listen live to the home calls of more than 160 minor league teams. From Class A to AAA games all across the country. With Minor League Baseball on TuneIn, hear top prospects take the field before they get called up. Listen in as players work their way back to Major League Baseball during rehabilitation starts. And catch your favorite minor league players and your favorite teams in action, including Tim Tebow. Listen to Minor League Baseball all season long on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Coletti.
There are 15 games on Tuesday evening, and to quickly recap them all, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking. Ned, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking. Let's start with the guys we think had better days than everybody else.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Who's your hitter, buddy? Who you got at the plate so far tonight?
A lot of choices. I love McCutchen. I love Machado tonight, but I'm going with Arenado. Biggest game of the night, biggest hit of the night, two-run triple, bottom of the eighth inning, scores two runs, takes a 3-2 deficit, turns it to a 4-3 lead and win.
Hey, as long as Bellinger's hitting home runs, then he's the best day ever. He is the best day ever until he doesn't hit home runs anymore. So he hit a home run. I don't know how many more he's going to have when this is all said and done, but you'll be listening to this on Wednesday, and he definitely had at least one home run. Cody Bellinger, best day ever. How about it on the mound?
Well, it's tough, and this may not be his best day ever, but it's tough not to go with Chris Sale. You just mentioned one of the few Red Sox ever to have 10 strikeouts 10 times in a season. We're talking about the 20th of June. Long way to go. This guy's been tremendous with that team. So I'm going to go with Mr. Sale tonight.
I got three guys I was bouncing around. Nick Martinez of the Rangers, Mike Montgomery of the Cubs. But I'm going to go with Germán Márquez. Now, Márquez left the game after six innings, and he actually had the lead. But six innings, four hits, one run, and three strikeouts, and he got a no decision. But these young kids with the Rockies just keep pitching very well. And he did it again, and he did it at home against a strong Diamondbacks offense. Germán Márquez, best day ever. Let's move on to the home runs.
MLB At The Plate, home run tracker.
First home run of the night was a blast. Edwin Encarnacion said he didn't even feel it. He hit it so well. 454 feet for the Edwing, 111 miles an hour off the bat. Manny Machado had a pair of home runs. His first went 383. His second went 438. 31. His teammate Jonathan Scope hit one 425. Both Orioles with exit velos of 111 miles an hour on their home runs there. Jed Jerko, 387. Jose Ozuna of the Pirates, 395. Anthony Rizzo's leadoff home run, 432. Nick Franklin, 393. Carlos Gomez, 391. And Miguel Sano's back on the list. 425-foot bomb going 106 miles an hour off the bat. Andrew McCutchen back-to-back nights with a home run. His 14th went 408 feet. Jesus Sucre hit one 351. Corey Dickerson, his teammate with the Rays, 392. And Mike Moustakas, a 440-foot blast off Chris Sale, which left the bat at 107 miles an hour. Avisail Garcia and Matt Davidson with the White Sox both going deep. Aaron Judge hit one 382, 108 exit velo. Marcell Ozuna continues to hit home runs at a rapid pace at home. He has 19 on the year, and tonight's went 438. Kenny Vargas, third longest home run of the year by anybody. Third longest home run of the year, 483 feet, 114 mile an hour exit velocity. Longest, hardest hit home run of the night. Gary Sanchez lit one up at 112 miles an hour, went 394. Cameron Maben, Nomar Mazara, Austin Slater all going deep. Daniel Murphy hit one 356. Cargo, 449. He's back on the good side. George Springer led the game off for the Astros and the A's, a 431-foot blast, 109-mile-an-hour exit velo. Ian Kinsler, 382. Yadier Molina, in the 11th of the Cards' victory, 434, his teammate Tommy Pham, 435 feet, 111 exit velo. Jose Abreu, Brandon Belt both went deep. A pair of home runs for Corey Seager. One went 410, the second went 472. Joey Votto hit one 433. That's the longest home run that's been recorded in his career. Ian Happ, 415. Cody Bellinger, his 22nd, went 373 feet. Luis Valbuena, Justin Upton, David Peralta all going deep. Peralta's went 455. Taylor Motter of the M's, Paul Goldschmidt of the D-backs, and Adrian Beltre all went deep. Beltre, that is his 2,960th hit. It went 415 feet. Jorge Bonifacio of the Royals, 436. Chad Pinder of the A's crushed one at 448. Let's look a little deeper into the stats.
Statistically speaking.
Right, here you go. Here's the most three-plus hit games this season, Ned. Avisail Garcia of the White Sox has 11 three-plus hit games this season. Quietly doing it on the south side.
Yep.
Guy that's heating up, though, not quietly doing it, the AL Player of the Week, Jose Ramirez, has 11. And Ryan Zimmerman and Daniel Murphy, the Nats, each have 10. So those guys just collect and dish. Jose Ramirez, 8-game multi-hit streak. Longest by an Indians player since Kenny Lofton had one.
Kenny Lofton.
An 8-game streak back in 96. So Ramirez is going to try to break it. You know Kenny's rooting for Ramirez not to break it, by the way.
Well, probably.
You know
that, right? I love Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, me too. Jose Abreu, first 12 home runs this season have all come on the road, setting a new White Sox record. A wimpy Tom Pashorek had the record, 11, back in 1982. I did not know Tom Pashorek even had 11 home runs in a season, so good for him. Joe West became the third umpire to reach the 5,000-game mark. Hall of Famer Bill Clem and Bruce Fleming are ahead of him still. Wow. I remember Bruce Fleming.
That's amazing that he's third. But that, you know what? Think about 5,000 games. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, Fleming's no longer around, right?
No, Fleming is a supervisor for MLB. Okay. I see him all the time in the Midwest. Good guy. Great guy. When he was an umpire and I was an executive, obviously we didn't always see eye to eye, but we always had a good laugh after a game, after he calmed me down for a minute or two.
Did you know Bill Clem? I do not.
No.
Think, is a long time ago. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, sir.
The five earned runs that Sonny Gray allowed to the Astros, his most earned runs allowed in the first inning of any start in his career, and this is his 106th start. Cody Bellinger, fastest in baseball history to 22 career home runs. He did it in 52 games. Cody Bellinger, first rookie in Major League history with 10 homers in a 10-game span. Cody Bellinger and Aaron Judge have homered on the same day 8 times this season. 8 times. Wow. Bellinger and Judge homered on the same day. Cargo, fifth career home run against Zach Greinke, ties Jason Giambi for the most Greinke has given up to a single batter. This is the latest calendar date in Major League history in which rookies led both the NL and the AL in home runs outright, with Bellinger and Judge doing that. Think about it. Rookies leading both leagues in home run, latest calendar date in baseball history, Bellinger and Judge. That is awesome. Like it.
Yep.
Edwin Encarnacion, his homer was just the fourth home run in the history of Camden Yards to reach the second deck. Think about that. That place has been around a long time now. Doesn't seem like it, because when it opened, it was like, oh, yeah, it just happened the other day. No, it's been a long time, back in the early 90s. Anthony Rizzo, first Cubs leadoff man to get on base to lead off a game in seven straight games since Richie Ashburn did it in 1960. Wasn't Ashburn more of a Philly than a Cub?
Yes.
Anthony Rizzo has reached safely leading off a game for the Cubs in seven straight. Ichiro's career long was six straight. Anthony Rizzo is tied for fourth in Major League Baseball with three home runs this season. He's done so in seven games. And he's also the only player in the last 60 seasons to reach in his first plate appearance in appearances in each of his first seven career games batting leadoff. And he tried to bunt tonight. He popped up. And Cody Bellinger tried to bunt tonight, too. And thank goodness it went foul, because right after that he hit a home run.
Cody will try one, lay one down, keep that shift on us.
Yep. Speaking of home runs, Yasmani Grandal just went deep, and it's now 6-0 Dodgers over the Mets. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. Now, during the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio, Ned Coletti alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in. Your everything audio app.